Yes, You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. I'm your host, Shelby, and I've gone rogue and invited my friend Philly to replace Matt. Out of sight, out of mind. So please do say hello, Philly.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
My little wallflower. Philly and I work together, which is great because that's how Matt and I started this podcast. So there is a future in which Matt will leave me forever, but I'll have Philly to replace him. And
always.
It'll probably be
You'll
better,
always have
honestly.
Me, Shelby.
Yes. Yes. No, we're taking time out of our busy days to share our thoughts on Bridgerton. Which there's a lot to be said, I feel, personally.
You would feel that way.
No, I'm kidding. Really's like, Shelby talks too much. Number one feedback. End of your review. Finish.
Just a lot of thoughts and opinions on a lot of things. Just a lot going on.
Yes. No. See, proof that you know me. Yeah. Well, I mean, so Philly and I talked about the first season drop, obviously, and I feel like we agreed on a lot of it. And then There was a lot of fun to be had. And so when the second drop came out, the part two came out, I immediately wanted to call you and get all your thoughts. But it was the weekend and, you know, we hadn't like really past that barrier in work to real life friends. And so I felt like this was the opportunity to shoot my shot and get
to cross that bridge.
Yeah, yeah. Just into the fire, you know, like it's not just me you're talking to, it's all of my listeners, of which I have many. So welcome to the PS Club. But do you want to tell the audience how you feel about Bridgerton, like your journey to discovering Bridgerton and how you felt about seasons 1 through 3 thus far?
The way that I don't remember season 1, 2, I barely remember 3. It's been a whole week. I had to do a refresher right before our call.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Season 3. I put it on and I just like skip through every sentence. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, that did happen.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Went on TikTok and I was like, yeah, that did happen. Yeah. But I don't remember season 1 or 2. I do remember I do remember liking.
Yeah.
Obviously I liked it to watch season 3.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was Queen Charlotte, which I love.
Gorgeous. Yes.
I hold her near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
But yeah, season 3. I read the book.
You did. You did.
I did.
We love an educated queen. No, yeah. Bridgerton, you know, it made a splash when it came out, probably like, I don't even know at this point, 6 years ago. I feel like it's been an eternity because they decided to throw history out the window. It was originally like, oh, is this blind color casting? But no, they made it so that in this version of the universe, a more equitable version of the universe, Queen Charlotte, King
George,
yeah,
Farmer George,
Farmer George, decided to allow people of color to hold rank, and it went by seamlessly, you know, for only having a generation under the belt. But good for them.
Yeah.
Season 1, that was the splashiest thing, and they had sex all the time because this was the fake dating trope story between Daphne, who's a Bridgerton, and Duke.
You lost me there. I don't remember his name.
But that was like a spicy season. Then season 2 is the enemies to lovers trope. And so it's a lot of just sexual tension. It's just constantly sniffing each other, touching pinkies in crowded rooms. Like, it's a lot. Okay. It was like, whoa. And they finally do it like at the end of episode 7 of 8.
Yeah.
So less sex, but more chemistry. So season three was announced, and it was going to be the Colin Bridgerton story, which features Penelope Featherington, a.k.a. Lady Whistledown herself. Now, you say you don't remember and you don't care, and it's already, like, away from your psyche.
Out of sight, out of mind. Kind of like Matt in this moment. I don't know what to tell you.
But were you excited for this story? Or
no.
When did you decide to read the book? That's perfect. I mean, it's an easy read. It's a very, very bingeable book. And I felt like, you know, I love Nicola, the actress who portrays Penelope Featherington. And they had great, like, chemistry on the PR, on the publicity campaign road, you know? It was like, okay. I loved every interview. They were flirty. They were fun. He seemed enamored by her. He had that, like, puppy dog look, you know, like just this little golden retriever trailing after his owner. And I love that. I think that's the right balance to strike when you have Nicola on the other end.
There are so many lines going on that are just, like, a little bit more interesting that I'm just like, ugh, it's not living up to what I thought it would be.
Yeah. No, I agree full-heartedly. It was a very chaotic season. And I put most of the blame at the showrunner's feet. The first two seasons were ran by someone else. And this was the first season with the new showrunner who had been the assistant showrunner on the previous seasons, but now she had full power, and with that power,
she
great
just did
responsibility.
Too much.
Yeah, it was just it was too much. I loved season two. I liked season one. I loved Queen Charlotte. And I felt like, you know, friends to lovers is usually a very cozy, fun time. And since they had that, like, energy of being friends on the press tour, I was excited to see the playfulness that they promised. And I think that's what helped. What also led to my disappointment was just that they hyped it up themselves so much that I was like, okay, Nicola says this is the spiciest, sauciest season yet. Like, let's get into it.
Where was the spice?
I don't know.
Because I was so excited because I feel like what was the first episode in part two? That was episode five, right?
Yeah.
I feel like more happened in episode five than all of episodes one through four. So I was so excited for the last three. And I'm just like, I'm not seeing what I thought I would be seeing.
Well,
I wanted
more. Yeah. Someone ran the numbers, and because I felt this in my core as I was watching it, but, like, they only had, like, 5 minutes together in each episode, basically, like, on average, over the course of these eight.
In a season that is supposed to be about them. Yeah. And for, I'm sure out of the eight episodes, I want to say maybe, like, seven of them, they were fighting, or, like, someone was angry.
100%. Yeah.
What was the point? Like,
it was not fun. It was not a good time. It was frustrating, but not in a sexually frustrating way, just in an irritating way.
No, not at all.
Bored
way.
Yeah.
1,000%. I'm right there with you.
Just set up the story. Penelope is Lady Whistledown, who's the gossip girl of the town. And so she's constantly publishing shady shit about all of her peers. And she has used her pen to get her way a few times. I mean, she broke
with
up.
With good reason.
Yes, honestly. Honestly. Okay, but I can't get ahead of myself. Okay, so in summary, she's Lady Whistledown. Her best friend is Eloise Bridgerton, and she finds out this in season two, and they have this falling out. So season three sets it up as Eloise is no longer talking to Penelope and is like, you're a liar and you destroyed my family's reputation and I'll hate you forever. That's her prerogative, okay? But then at the same time, Penelope decides that, you know what? She's not an old maid and she wants to get married. So they do this thing in the first half where they decide it'll be a classic, like, makeover moment where for some reason, Colin thinks he's the, the toast of the town and he should tell her how to land a man. I didn't see him prove his thesis at all in those first episodes. I think he was a lousy teacher and a dumb little boy.
But I 100% agree.
It was fine. He's like, flirt with these men. Do it. Do it. Flirt with them. And then she falls apart, obviously. And then on her own, she figures out how to have a normal conversation with some dude who I literally forgot because, oh yeah, he does not show up at all post episode 4. But he's like...
the guy that was going to propose?
Yeah. He's like, oh, he's like, okay, I don't love you, but I'll marry you and it'll be practical and we like each other enough that you'll be happy with me. And Penelope, who has been told her whole life that she will likely never marry, I guess because she's chubby or something. She's a Bennington who wears yellows. I don't know. That's the thing we have to suspend belief on. But she's finally going to get with him. But then Colin decides, oh, wait.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, Colin's like, oh, wait, this is a woman. You know what, though? I joke about that, and I think it was kind of shoddily done. But I did enjoy his interactions with her when she's like, kiss me so I don't die a virgin. And he's like, what? But he goes along with it because he's a team player.
He is.
I liked the puppy dog realization. But then they also were trying to like keep him as this kind of bro-y douche lord who loves threesomes.
Unnecessary. And didn't make sense. What was the point? Once again.
I was like, I only got the ick from him. So I was like, I don't believe you as some sort of...
Maybe it was to show growth, now that I'm thinking about it. Over the span of one episode, though? Like, I just feel like it felt rushed. I don't know.
Oh, it was 100% rushed. I mean, the best that they could think of is for him to realize, maybe I'm into Penelope because I can't get it up for this threesome I'm in right now. And that was meant to be our, like, aww, he loves that her.
But that, and also the fact that she was about to marry another man.
Yes, yeah.
That was another, like, aha moment for him. Like, oh, I can't have her? No, I have to have her. And it's just like, she deserves so much better.
I know.
I'm throwing so much hate at Colin, but, like, love him. Like, my God.
It's like, I blame him, but I also mostly blame the writing. Because I think they were so busy shoving so many other storylines. And I like an ensemble show. I feel like the first few seasons did it a lot better. But this season, they were all so siloed that it was like, oh, Eloise and Cressida. Oh, Penelope and her sad staring about, like, will anyone love me? And then there's also, like, the Mondriches, the like, newly appointed... I don't know. They got some new title. And so there's that whole storyline. Benedict is being a whore, just like whoring around town left and right. He gets so much screen time just for being a whore. Absolutely no character growth. He was an artist last season. This season, he's just horny. I don't know.
No, 1,000%.
Even when it became like, oh, queer icon, like love is love, you know, I just felt confused. I was like, why am I watching so much of Benedict's butt and I have yet to see Collins? You know? Like, what are we doing?
I feel like book, I was promised a lot
that
I didn't get. And I do know that they said, like, I don't remember where I, like, saw this, but apparently, like, the only thing they promise you that you're going to get from the book is that, like, everyone is going to end up with who they end up in the book. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like if you know people are coming from reading the book and you have free reign to do whatever you want, you would do better.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
And that is not what they did.
Yeah. I just feel like they could have let Benedict be slutty, but also let Colin and Penelope be slutty. I heard a rumor that they cut some sex scenes from Penelope and Colin. I didn't verify it, so I'm... think this might just be like a TikTok rumor that got out of hand, but there are moments in the book where they can't even resist. Like, they constantly are sneaking off into like little corners and bedrooms to make out or hook up, and that never happened. And I was like,
at all, Because we got no time with them.
Yeah, because they were always mad at each other. They were always moping about something or other. And I don't know why. It's like, Colin, you married her. Like, get over it. You know, like, just.
No, literally.
Just, like, get over it.
It was actually never that deep. It literally was never that deep.
Literally.
And while we're on the topic of never that deep, so sorry, but can we bring up Eloise and how. I just feel like that was so unnecessary.
Yeah.
Why are you mad at your best friend over nothing? Ask questions.
Yeah. It shows some curiosity, you know?
No, literally.
It's like, Eloise, I get, like, the moment it happens being mad because she had just, you know, ruined her reputation by admitting that she was hooking up or flirting with some peasant printer boy. And so I, like, get that hurt. But Eloise this season made absolutely no sense because her solution is to instead decide she does like parties and she will be friends with Cressida. And it's like very confusing because her whole thing is like, you know, down with the
patriarchy. You're better than all of this. Yeah. So like you really stepped down from your high horse for what?
And then
to make a point.
Yeah. And then it was very confusing to me how she decided, like, oh wait, actually I do like you, Penelope, and I was wrong about Cressida, because honestly, Eloise made no sense to me, and I didn't like her more than I didn't like Cressida, because Cressida was a girl just trying to survive. Like, she was I was like, why are they trying to make me hate Cressida? Like, I think I would do the exact same thing she's doing, because I don't want to marry this gross old crotchety man or be sent off to the middle of nowhere with my gross old crotchety aunt, you know? So
and
it's
my
like
my father is the I can't say what he is, but
but it's just like, I feel like Eloise should have had nothing but empathy for this woman who had no options. And instead she's like, oh, I can't believe I was friends with her. Oh my gosh. And why? Because she was trying to get some money off the queen. Like, I didn't understand why why Eloise
especially
was like.
Because I feel like Eloise this season was really giving like selfish. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she only talked about herself. She only cared about herself. Like, and I guess like if you really think about it, she's like that in other seasons too, which is probably, this is going to sound messed up, but like probably why she gravitated towards Penelope, because Penelope, like, do you know what I mean? Like, she could talk about herself and Penelope would just like sit there and happily listen, like, but no, I just feel like she just isn't a great friend.
I agree, like, and it was weird too, because when Colin gets mad at her, like, Eloise is so mad at Penelope for getting engaged to Colin without telling Colin her truth, which I, you know, like, sure, I get that, you know. That's a big secret. But then once Penelope does tell the truth and Colin is pissed at her, Eloise is like, oh, Penelope, I'm here for you. Like, I get it. And I was like, what just happened? Like,
switched.
Yeah. The math isn't mathing there, because I feel like, and that's the other thing I hated, was that they tried to make Penelope's secret like really dark. And I was like, girl, she's writing a gossip column. Like, good for her. Like, you know, I'm like.
That everyone reads. And yeah, she's successful. Reads. It's giving jealousy. It's giving hater, actually.
Which, like, Colin hints at, because he's like, oh, I was talking about being a writer. And here you are. You're already a writer. And he's just like a huge baby about it. But what was weird is that Penelope was constantly like, I made mistakes and I'm sorry. And I see that now. And it was wrong. And I was like, girl, why are you begging? Like, honestly, you had justifiable reasons for like A through B on everything you did. And it's like a cool fact. It's a cool factoid and like a fun party, you know, trick to be like, actually, you'll never
believe that article you read this morning. One secret, like, I'll never tell.
Yeah. It was like, and that's the biggest issue I had with the season, is that they didn't know what to do with the whistle down secret. And I think reading the book, it was interesting, because that's when you find out that she's whistle down. You don't know that in like earlier stories or whatever.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
So it's like, so much of the book is her playing along with this, like, oh, we have to unmask whistle down. And so there's a cleverness happening there. Whereas here, she is just caught in a corner, and it's just so many, you know, like, just gasping and weeping and like embarrassment and shame and fear. And I didn't like that for Penelope.
I 1,000% agree. Yeah.
I think it was just a waste of her character. And like when they tried to recover and have her give her big speech, I was like, girl, this column's over. Like, how are you going to write this going forward? It's dead. It's DOA. It's over. Like, everyone knows you. The end. That's it. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know why they did this for this series, because they could have had so much more fun if it was just him. It was just her and Colin who knew, or even if the queen knew but decided to keep the secret because she wanted to see how the game continued. Yeah. Because it was just like, it was so confusing the last four episodes, because it was like partly this intimate, like, oh, I had the secret and I kept it from you, how do you know if you really love me thing. But then there was also this huge societal, like, queen bursting into party after party being like, I know it's one of you. And then the end is like the most, like, anticlimactic, pitiful, just like deflation of both storylines, where Penelope gives this speech where she's like, basically, with great power comes great responsibility, and it is I am Lady Whistledown. No one says anything. It is complete silence. It is just not even her freaking husband is coming over to like champion her.
Like a slow clap. And I literally was sitting. Got it. Okay.
I would die of embarrassment if I made a speech like that and it was just like. Like, it was just like, the vibes were off. And then it's like, oh, bugs. It's like, I love her sisters. I do. I think that was the only, like, good thing of this season is the Featherington storyline. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. But
I only like one sister. The funny
you
one.
Do. Yeah. The dumb one. Yeah. The dumb one. Inserts himself. Inserts himself where? Highlight. That shouldn't be the highlight of the season, though.
It shouldn't be.
It should not be. But let's talk about the steamy scenes, because I did not enjoy them.
Were you expecting more? Because I was expecting more.
Yeah.
I was expecting. I, like I said, I just feel like I like a buildup.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just feel like I like a buildup.
Yeah, no, he couldn't keep it in his pants for a single romantic pronouncement. It was like,
and I just feel like that's not fair to her. Mm-hmm, she deserves the buildup.
Yeah. It's like Chapel Roan should have been playing in that carriage scene. Like, is it casual now? Like, I don't think so. Like, this is just, I need more because I'm getting mixed signals here. I'm very confused.
No, 1,000%.
And then he's like, are you gonna marry me? And she's like, what annoyed me the most is, honestly, I liked that like playful, like, for God's sake, are you gonna marry me? Like, I thought that was cute. I like a little edgy.
I feel like it could have been done later if, like, once again, if there was build up to it. Do you know what I feel like it really came out of left field when he was like, are you going to marry me, for God's sake?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, we just...
She's like, wait. Like,
no, literally. You gave me a 2-second speech. And
2-second.
Yeah. And then now you're trying to put a ring on my finger. And I just feel like he could have done more.
Yeah.
He could have proved himself more.
Oh, 100%.
And I feel like... Yeah, I just love.
I know.
And I feel like she didn't get what she deserved.
She wasn't treated like a princess. She was treated like a common whore. No, but like, I agree. I think they made their biggest mistake was in episode 4, having it mainly from Penelope's POV. So it's her crying in the carriage. It's her breaking up with her would-be fiance. It's her fighting with her mom. And you don't see you don't see a lot of Colin suffering. Like, yeah, he's moping in his bedroom and his mom's like, marrying friends is like a good idea, son. But it's like,
yeah.
I wanted to see him chase after the carriage. Like, I physically wanted to see him sweat. I wanted to see him like make an embarrassment of himself at the party beyond embarrassing her. Because when he stormed in and was like, dance with me, I was like, there are rules and decorum, good sir. This is not some straight bar you can just march into. I was like, honestly, embarrassing. Yeah. Shameful.
No,
like,
I
have him dance with somebody else and be like, Penelope, Penelope.
Literally trying to talk to her. Shelby, should you direct the show?
I think I should. I think
honestly, you're so good at this. I'm like, but that would make so much sense. That would be so beautiful if he's like disrupting the whole dance scene to like get to her.
Instead of like, he was just so like bossy, but it wasn't like his personality. Like in the book, he definitely has that sort of like dick energy. And he's kind of yelling at her constantly and bossing her around, which wasn't a great look. But I think they could have found a better middle ground with this book, because the other thing I did not like was how episode 5 picks up after the great fingering and the sudden engagement. And it's just like, we're engaged. Like, I was like, what? That's how he announces it. Like, it was like, it was weird how it's filmed, because it was voiceovered with Lady Whistledown. And I was like, guys, we know this is a Lady Whistledown story. We don't need her voiceover right now. Like, let's continue the action. Okay. This is a big moment. But it was like faded. We're engaged. And he wasn't even holding her hand when he told his family. I was just like, dead. I would.
So why would you tell your family first? Why are you not telling her family?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That was my favorite scene in the book. In the book, when he's like, let's go tell your family. And she's like, no, today's not a good day, sir. Like, please don't go in this house. And then it's like, everyone's there. Everyone's like bitching about everything. They're like making fun of Penelope. And she's sitting there like, sorry, Colin. And he finally is like, whoa, guys, that is my girl. And I was like, yes, I wanted that scene.
Oh, same.
And instead, he just kind of like marches in and is like, I heard you shit talking me, mom. And I'm taking her and leaving her and deflowering her in my apartment right this second.
Which is another thing, because like, obviously, like, get yours, queen. You know what I mean? But like, he was not respectful. But honestly, the more we're talking about it, I feel like he just didn't do anything very respectfully.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
but
even having sex before marriage, I feel like, not for the time, obviously, for the time, I just feel like that's something that he would have been considered about. Like,
or find a bed.
Nothing.
You know? It's like
a bed. At least a bed.
Yeah. It was like,
for her first time.
Mm-hmm. I can't. Honestly, I hated that episode. I was like, okay, when they were in the mirror, I was like, oh yeah, like look at him, like hyping her up, like admitting his feelings finally, and like explaining it beyond just like, you're hot and I was horny. But then he immediately is like, tell me to stop, like, you know. And I was like, sir, no, like, there, like, you contained yourself with Miriam or whatever her name was in the first season when she was actively trying to entrap you. And now you're just like banging Penelope whenever you feel like it, freaking. And I didn't like the power dynamic as it was portrayed, where it was like, she's like, tell me what to do. And he's like, I'll do everything. And then she's like, no, tell me. And he's like, okay, touch me. And she's like, I was like, girl needs some direction. Like, what do you mean? Because the instant she goes for his member, he's like, not there.
Not there. Yeah. You said touch me. Where do I
go? I asked for more direction and you just said anywhere. So what are we doing here? I feel like they mentioned in interviews that it's fun to have friends to lovers because they're more playful and there's an energy there that's different than just like pure sex appeal. And so I was waiting for that. And I thought it would be cute to have them like giggling and awkward. But instead, it was just Penelope being the most breathy, like, you know, just like quivering.
Yeah.
And this man child being like, it's gonna hurt.
Oh,
I was like,
I can't.
Okay, it's their first time. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
We never see them bang again. We never see them bang again.
I know, Shelby. I know.
Freaking Daphne and the Duke are running in the rain. They're like banging on staircases. They're.
I feel like Kate and what's his name did it more times in this season than very obviously they did. But I just feel like every time you saw them on camera, they were having sex.
Yeah. Yes.
Penelope, poor girl. They just really did not do her justice in this season.
No.
Like overall, like it just. Was very anticlimactic, and I feel like everyone had such high expectations.
Yeah.
It was disappointing.
I know, because there's that scene where he, like, finds out she's whistled down and is pissed about it, but in the book, there's, like, this whole discourse in the carriage. That's when the carriage scene happens, is he's, like, angry, and they do angry finger banging. But instead, in this one, he just mopes off. And I was like, okay. And then they're mopey for a whole episode. And then at the end of that episode, he catches her again, like, talking to, I don't remember, the modiste or something. And so they're in the dark. And I was like, okay. They're going to get they're gonna get spicy.
This is the moment.
This is the Notebook moment where they're fighting and it leads to angry sex. And they make out. And I was like, yes, freaking throw her in a bush, like, let's get this going. But instead,
rip her
corset
off in the middle of the street.
Break a window and get in that building and just do it. But instead, he just is like, you shouldn't be out in the streets. Everyone's gonna think you're a whore. And then he just like sends her home in a carriage.
And she's like, well, are we not gonna address the fact that he was on his way to whore around as well? And the way that she just let that go, she was like, and where are you on your way to? Are you kidding me?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
And again, she was just groveling about like, I know I misused my power, but like, I like being a writer. And like, I'm sorry, but you have to respect that. And he's just like,
I feel so embarrassed. I feel so ashamed.
And so then, you know what though? They got married. And I really loved the You Belong With Me needle drop. I thought that was a really
sweet. You would. No, I'm kidding.
I know it's predictable, but I think it worked.
No, it did. It did work.
It was cute to see him dance. And I was like, good. Now they've recovered. And now they can be like flirty, fun, problem solving together. But then he gets mopey again and sleeps on the freaking couch like a little baby. Okay. On their wedding night.
I feel like disrespectful once again.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
Honestly, just like, no. Just no. I feel like Daphne should have been in the season to be like, Colin, grow up, you know?
Yeah.
And she is the sibling that he talks to in the book, which I think is interesting. So,
which he goes to and does the little, how do you know?
Yeah.
So cute. I loved.
I know. And that's the other thing is I was like, oh, they're still both figuring out their feelings and it'll be cute when there's this like emotional payoff. But that happens really fast. He's just like, I love you.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh. And then he goes like full One Direction and is like, you just don't know how beautiful you are. Like, it's just like, okay, let's all calm down. Please. Yeah, he just like literally is like a teenage boy and he's like, I want to touch your boobies. I've been dreaming about them.
So literally that's what it was giving. I swear to God. Yeah.
And I felt like they picked the wrong tone because again, if this is a guy who's like excited to finally bang his like secret crush or whatever, then the like ripping off a bodice should be more like, how do I get this thing off you, you know, type thing. But instead they went like slow-mo and it's like dropping the negligee. And it's just like, it didn't make sense for the characters. And they just were always at a loss for how to like interact with each other.
They didn't put time and thought into their story.
Yeah.
Like at all.
I know.
I feel like there was something else I was going to say and I lost it.
Just like, I'll come back to it. Like the whole season felt. They were like, they left some drafts on the writing room floor because I love seeing, you know, Mama Bridgerton start flirting it up. I liked seeing.
I love.
Yeah, it's cute. I liked Lady Danbury and Violet's relationship, Lady Bridgerton's relationship. I even liked how Himbo Antony turned into as like the like, golden retriever boyfriend who's like competitive during mm-hmm. games and is loosened up. Like, I love the family dynamics. Hyacinth, love
yeah.
her. I love yeah. Francesca, which we have to talk yeah. about. But I feel
we
like
do.
There would have been
I was
a
waiting
way,
for you to get there.
There would have been a way to like have it all happen more organically. But instead, again, they were yeah. just all so like siphoned off. Like Antony and Kate are here, then they're not. Then they're here, then they're not. And like Francesca, blah, blah, blah.
Unnecessary. Just, like,
yeah. So weird. But
very
Francesca.
Necessary.
Francesca. Yes. Honestly. She is the star of the season. She is the diamond.
She
treasure.
Is.
Gorgeous. She loved sparkled. Every single look, every single outfit.
Yeah.
She was honestly like a very like lovable character from the jump. And yeah. it's
not
been
gonna
a
lie, I don't remember her before this season.
Well, she wasn't in it. She wasn't okay. in it. Yeah. They had like an earlier Francesca in season two, but then they recast her because she wasn't leading lady material. But like
got it.
Yeah, so this was like a big new actress for it, but she was so cute and I liked her like budding little romance with John.
I loved it.
I know.
Shelby, the way that I almost came to tears when he gave her the little scroll with the notes the way she wanted them.
I know. I know. That's the way to interrupt a ball dance, you know? Like that's what you need, you know?
That is love.
That was so sweet. And I liked that she was, I loved the scene where she's like, tell him the boot story. And he's just like, there were, you know, boots. Yeah. And I was like, yes, honestly relatable. I loved their awkwardness.
I love them.
So,
so
how do you feel about the twist ending?
That is a really good question because I feel like I loved watching the twist happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I saw her not be able to say her name, I literally jumped out of my chair and
yes.
I was like, she is in love.
Yes.
This is love.
Yes.
And so like, obviously I was really excited in the moment, but like you got me so excited about her current relationship. That just like looks so beautiful and it's so different. You know what I mean? Like, and her mom kept being like, it's different. Like, and like her knowing like, yeah, this is different, but like, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I kind of just have to watch it play out.
Do you know what happens from the book? Do you know what happens?
I kind of have an idea of what happens. I do know. Are we allowed to ruin things?
I guess. No? I don't know. I would. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
He dies.
Yeah.
And she falls in love with his cousin.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Yeah. Well,
who
Michael.
In the book is
and
my...
Now it's Michaela.
Michaela, sorry. Yeah, like I am very excited because like from what I've heard, she's like, then it does become like a typical like Bridgerton love story where
yeah.
it's like head over heels and it's like the best sex of her life.
Yeah.
And she's like, there's like a little bit of, she's like, oh, I thought I loved him, but like, and I know there's so much controversy about like the kid and like
yeah.
I guess that's for next season. That's
well, next I don't
season.
Even know when they're going to do it. I think fandoms are so like toxic and annoying because no one's taking your book away. You can still have your book and it just reeks of
yeah.
like homophobia and like to be that upset about it being gender swapped in a story that literally has like no historic bearings whatsoever. At all. So it's like, I honestly was, because I knew that they would make a queer story. I think at one point they had mentioned that. And I thought it would either be Benedict, which it sort of is, I guess, you know, free love, or Eloise, because she's your classic sort of Joan March, Jane Austen type. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's the most obvious thing is like, she's gonna be gay. But I like that it was Francesca. I like that it was sort of this unexpected, you know, twist on someone. Yeah, someone discovering their sexuality. Yeah, because it was like, it wasn't about like what's easiest or most obvious. It was like, that felt like a really natural, sweet moment to have her think she's in love and be happy and content with her life. But then realizing like, oh, what her mom was talking about, how like that fire can be there. And like, I thought she just handled it so good in the scene too, like her facial expressions
yeah.
and, like, tripping over her words. Like I thought That was like honestly the best part of the season.
No, honestly, I think it was one of my favorite scenes. Like, I'm telling you, I literally jumped out of my chair and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Love.
I know. And I love that it's just like, I wish it was, I hope it was their, it's their season next, because I want to see, like, let's go to Scotland or whatever. Let's see what that that country life is like. But yeah, I thought that was really nice. And I think the haters just need to sit down and be quiet, because
they need to calm down.
Yeah. It's still a love story. It's just a, it's just woman on woman, you know? It's like, come on. Get with it. If the only thing people can be complaining about this season is how much sex Benedict had, okay? It's just extreme.
Yeah.
He needs his family to
speaking of Benedict, how did you feel about his storyline this season? Besides the sex. Well, including the sex, obviously.
Only the sex,
There's no besides, but like, how did you feel about, what was her name? What's her name? Tilly?
Tilly, I think, Tilly. It was fine. I feel like it could have been pretty much wrapped up in one episode, but they were there the whole season. I mean, I liked that he was like, I liked her speech to him when she was like, there's so many ways to love and like, why do we limit ourselves? And so I liked that concept and idea and the interactions and him realizing like, oh yeah, I actually would like to kiss this man. But then the ending being her like, actually, I'd love to be exclusive. And him being like, whoa, this is getting too deep.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, men. Just men.
Yeah, know? I felt like that was very unnecessary.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I also just felt like if you guys were doing this and he's new to this and he's enjoying it, I'm like, also, why couldn't, like, it's not fair to say to her. But I'm like, you guys could also have a conversation about, like, just being open. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it could have been a better conversation.
Yeah.
Where she was just at you and he was like, this is going too far. Like, I can't. Like, you just opened me up to this and now I want to live this life. And it's just like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Because it seemed weird that she suddenly decided within an episode or two that actually she does just want one man and one man only.
And wants to be monogamous.
Yeah. He's for him? I don't know. Okay. But then also him just like walking off after, I was like,
yeah.
It's just like, men. That's just how I feel. Just disappointed.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a valid feeling. Very, very valid, Shelby.
But I do have something important to ask you, and I hope you have the answer, because what was the point of the Mondrich's ball? Flower
so I,
tower.
We'll never know. Like, it will forever be a mystery.
And the
was
queen's
that
like,
there like
nice yeah. one.
She was like, you did it right there. That was the one. You got me.
Like at least the butterflies like flit around, you know? It's like a moment. It's like, oh. But like this flower tower sort of falling apart intentionally and then just being in the way of the dance floor the whole evening, I was like,
unnecessary.
Yeah, I thought it would like reveal.
Once again.
I thought it would be a dance floor. I thought it was unfolding into a dance floor.
I thought it was going to be a person inside.
Oh!
Like, I thought it was going to be like.
A little dancer.
Yeah. I just thought
Happy
it would
birthday,
be.
Miss
yeah. But yeah, very
or like have cupcakes or something, like reveal some candies. I don't know. I was just like, okay.
Unnecessary. Again. I'm sure though, if I like did a deep dive, someone would have an explanation. Does that
I'm
make
sure
sense?
It's like I'm sure it's like someone once like that was a thing, like, you know, throwing cool gadgety parties. And they've done it. They've done it in ways. Like in season one, they like have everyone leave the party to like reveal lanterns in the trees or something.
Oh yeah.
So there's like precedence, but it was like,
yeah. Why right now? Yeah. What did this do for this moment? I think they need to ask themselves that more often. Yeah. Like, what did this do? Like,
how does this service the plot? I think that's what we're supposed
Which,
to ask.
Do in another way, because I was looking at something. Not me trying to stop myself from being like on this TikTok that I watch. But basically,
I read a very important article. Yeah.
No, literally. Where they do put a lot of like gems and stuff is like in the hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, if you put that much thought and attention to detail in the hair and makeup, like, why can't you guys do that mm-hmm. for other things? Mm-hmm. Like, because if y'all aren't pointing out the hair and the makeup details to me, I'm not noticing that on my own. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm just here to watch, yeah. you know? Yeah. But it's like with something that obvious and that big, like, let it be like a little gem. Like, let me like look it up and it be like a crazy story that has to do with the storyline.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
nothing.
No. It never mattered. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah. That's just generally
exactly.
How I feel. Well, I think the criticism of this season, because it's definitely the least well reviewed of the series, is that it is sort of like they wanted to get away with implying rather than showing, and it's like, this is the wrong art form, babe. Like, you've got to,
yeah,
like, oh my gosh, yeah, the twist that she had a baby like immediately after, and then the showrunner is like, I guess we wanted, in our minds, they probably got pregnant on that couch that first time. And I was like, well, maybe you could explore that, like, maybe she could be getting nauseous yeah. on her wedding day, like, you know, maybe there could be some fun with that, instead of like, wouldn't it be funny if they got pregnant then, and so now that's why there's a baby. And I was like, let them have their flirty fun honeymoon phase. Why does she need to be a mom straight away, literally? Like, honestly,
I want her to write, because they're trying to take Lady Whiffledon away from her.
I know. And it's like, she has an article still, and I'm like, what are you saying at this point? Like, what is this, like an ask Whistledown for advice column? Like, I don't, no one's going to be spilling their secrets anymore around you. You know, you can't be disappear against a wall anymore. Like, you're enemy number one in the town. Like, I don't think you have any sort of powers anymore. So it's too bad. It's too bad. I mean, I also just think they did Cressida so dirty with, one, the costumes and the hair, but two, with her just being, I don't know, banished, like, and for what? I don't understand how they wanted me to feel about Cressida, because she was a living embodiment of everything Eloise was like ranting against, of how women have no choices and women are desperate for any sort of power and they have none. And so to watch her kind of like lose at every turn and just be taken down further and further, I was like, homegirl did not deserve this treatment. Like, she was barely malicious. Like, in the book, I think she's more cruel. But, like, in this, she really minds her own business this season, because her business is trauma. And she's just, like, trying to survive.
She's just dealing with her own shit. She's just trying to get through it.
And like, she's begging Eloise. Like, she's
one day,
like,
at a time.
Can I talk to you? Can I
help me?
Yeah. Please. Please.
And Eloise is like, I have other things going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like,
it's so frustrating.
It's like, the Bridgerton name has some sway, so like, Eloise does have power, but like, Eloise is such a white feminist or something that she can't even like think outside of herself and think of like, oh my gosh, how can I solve this, because now you've attacked me and I feel hurt and that's not nice to me and my family. And like, Eloise has,
it's the 180 switch up for me, because even before that came out, she had already been like, I can't believe I was friends with Cressida. Like, you've been friends with her for a year, babe. Like,
it's rude.
Are you not loyal?
No. Nope.
Like, I'm so confused. Like, yeah, I just feel like she really does not know how to stand by and like stick with people through thick and thin. I feel like at the first sight of like any problem, she's like, absolutely not, get it away from me. Like, you're so toxic. And it's just like, maybe look in the mirror.
Yeah. And her trying to be like, you liked my brother this whole time and you didn't tell me. I was like, girl, the writing was on the wall. Like, everyone knew. You're a bad friend if you didn't notice. Like, honestly.
No, literally.
I even rewatched seasons one and two to see if there was some like subtleties I missed. And it was just like, Penelope was like,
in your face.
Just like starry eyed. Eloise is over there like, mwah, 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 mwah. She's just a bad, she's a talker.
Living
sure.
in her own world.
Yeah. Which is funny because she and Benedict's like friendship is one of my favorite like sibling dynamics, like when they when they're on the swings talking about their problems and helping each other, but they're just both terrible at taking the other's advice. Like, they're just so bad at listening.
It's giving narcissism now that I think about it. Like, they just like the sound of their own voice, and they're just like, let me just say this to the void.
But okay, before we wrap up, the showrunner also announced that it usually takes 2 years to do these seasons. I don't know how they're spending that time, because it's not in writing and it's not in story building
at all.
And the rumor is that Benedict's season is next, but do you think there's a way to recover from this season? Do you think, like, it feels like it changed?
Are we gonna
everything.
Have the same showrunner for next?
Yes. Yeah.
In that case, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know who this person is, but someone needs to sit them down and hold their hand and let them know that they.
I
need
hope
to
she
be
takes
better.
Notes. Yeah. Well,
I
it's like,
really hope so.
I know, because I hear Benedict's is pretty straightforward, like Cinderella story, and I think that allows for a lot of fun and a lot of charm, and it's sort of a rags to riches moment, which Benedict needs to be humbled, as previously discussed.
Yeah,
so I welcome that, and there's a masquerade ball involved, which is very cute, and so it's like you have all the pieces, you know. It's a fun enough show. And we asked for
I just
little.
Feel like all the pieces were here for this season, too.
Yeah, just scattered across. I don't know how they'll do, like, the Lady Whistledown element anymore.
Well, in the book, after this book, Lady Whistledown is no longer a thing, right?
Oh, really? I don't know.
I think so. I think after Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, Lady Whistledown is no longer.
Oh, because she agrees to stop writing it? I can't remember.
I can't remember the ending, but I just feel like it is no longer like a predominant part of the storyline.
Okay, that's fair.
That also kind of makes me sad though, because I'm like, okay, then do Penelope and Colin no longer become part of, like, do they not get just justice in season four? Like,
nope, she's a mom now, so she'll just be. She doesn't have time to
at home
parade
her kids
to promenade. Yeah, no need for new dresses, nothing. She's gonna just be a mother who edits her husband's travel logs.
Oh, disgusting. Literally disgusting. Now
I know it's tough, because obviously, like, I feel like Penelope has been a part of the series for so long, for one, being Lady Whistledown. And so there was always drama around her. And so to, like, take her out of the family dynamic now will be weird. Whereas, like, Anthony was barely in season one, or, like, he was featured, but he didn't have his own storyline separate from Daphne's. And then, so it was, like, fine that he flittered in and out of season three in the same sort of way. But it's like, what are we... If we lose Penelope, then we almost lose Eloise and we lose Colin. And so there's like this huge chunk.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too. Because once we get to Eloise, who is she going to be? Is she just out in the streets by herself? I'm confused. Like,
It felt like the wrong move almost to have the pollen season so soon. Because again, in the book, it's like 10 years later. It's like they're both older.
Yeah.
And they've
which
had
would have made so much sense. But the thing is, Nicola said in one of her interviews that I guess the writers or whoever felt like it was doing Penelope a disservice to have her like pining over him for like a whole nother season. Like, you're just like waiting for this, and like at some point it gets embarrassing.
They did not make it less embarrassing with this season.
No, for sure.
I like think they could have had her realize she had to get over it and like move on for one season, yeah, and had Colin start to like be like, wait, where's my friend? Like, why isn't she always at my beck and call anymore?
Yeah. No,
there
I agree.
Opportunities here too.
So many opportunities that were missed, Shelby. Like, if we're gonna talk about all the missed opportunities, we'll be here for days.
I know.
It's just
all in all, it happened. It's done.
Yeah, it's done. Let's
it's done.
Read book five. What are we on? Book five? Book four?
This will be.
I don't know.
I don't. I think the
book. No, the next book. Right? The next book. Yeah, I was about to say the next book. I think is Eloise's book, anyways. Mm. So.
I mean, maybe it will
be. We
just
their
have season,
to wait 2 years.
But no, they made the.
Maybe it'll be like a compilation.
Yeah. It's crazy. It takes 2 years. I need someone to deep dive how networks were making ER, Grey's Anatomy, Lost, all
back
at the same time.
Back to back.
Yes. And it's like 30
and
episodes.
This is 2 years, yeah.
And she's like, oh, it takes 8 months to film. Sense. How? How can this show take 8 months to film? It's
makes
like, sense. It's like barely 8 hours.
For nothing. No, for literally. Nothing. It's not for nothing.
For absolutely nothing. It's like, it's too much. I could have scrapped like 50% of this season and had a stronger piece of art to deliver.
No, I really think you should take up like show running.
Oh,
or
okay, yeah.
Directing,
you know, I'll email
or writing.
Shonda.
Or,
yeah. I'll
yeah.
Be like, let me
if
pitch
you need a
something.
Reference.
Yeah. Using okay. my vast network, I think I can executive recruit myself to Netflix yeah. and Shondaland. So.
You look never know that. Until you try. You miss 100% of the shots you don't yeah. take. Let me know how okay. that goes, though, because I wouldn't be opposed to leaving with you.
So. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. You'll be my AD, and then you'll run the show one day when you're ready. but no, Philly, thank you. Thank you for talking through this with me. I had a lot of pent-up feelings, and I needed to get them out. I know you've moved on already, but for me, the misery lingers. And sorry for the technical difficulties. Hopefully this all...
You're totally fine.
Hopefully this all works out. So you can, you too can grow to appreciate Philly as I do. Philly, do you have anything you want to promote to my wide audience? Do you have any... Are you on TikTok?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
No. No.
You got an Instagram?
No, and no.
A blog?
No.
LinkedIn account?
So be. Way to make me feel bad about me, though.
So. No, you're
not all of us have
one.
Time to have no. a podcast and a blog, okay?
No, no.
Whatever.
No, no, this is perfect. I'll definitely be having you on again. So you just tell me what you're watching, because I'm pretty sure Matt doesn't watch the same things.
Shelby, unless you're watching Love Island UK right now, we are over.
Okay, I haven't gotten into Love Island yet, so
we'll
find something. Okay, or there will be 2 years from now when we can regroup.
No, I mean, you recommend anything and I have no standards.
Oh, okay,
I will
perfect.
Watch.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Okay, I also watched that documentary you recommended.
Oh, yeah.
Finished it
yeah.
in one sitting.
Yeah, crazy. Dancing for Jesus.
I'm done.
It does. Whoa. Okay, but let's wrap this up. We've got things to do, you know. Business
yeah.
to return to. Okay. Well, Billy, I'll talk to you later, and to everyone else, thanks for listening.